with you this afternoon. And it's found over in the second book of Corinthians. And I want to start reading around verse number 6 of chapter 9. And then you'll understand in just a few minutes how I'm going to tie this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. I think I got it right that time. And this is what the word of the Lord says. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, or ye, always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. When we think about this grouping of scripture, we often think about only nickels and dimes. We only think about tithing. We only think about giving. We only think about sowing money and doing things with our money. I firmly believe that God is concerned about your money. You've heard me as a pastor preach on tithing very, very little since I have been at Thomasville, because typically the people here at Thomasville, they've always tithed. They've always given. A preacher that has to give up and get up and hammer and hammer and hammer on tithing, the problem not only rests in the pew, but it also rests in the pulpit. And the reason I say that is because discipleship is a training process and something that a pastor should teach a congregation, the purpose of giving, the reason we give, and what God's word says about giving, and all the things that goes along, money principles, and Larry Burkett, and all the good things that talks about money. But for tonight, that's all I really want to say about money. I want to say what I believe that God put on my heart can be found within the context of God's word over and over and over and over again. So I want to talk to us for a little bit this evening on inspire to give. Inspire to give. And we think about giving, and we think about, again, nickels, dimes, and quarters, and $5 bills, and grants, and Washingtons, and all of that. But the reason I believe that, hey, CJ, he's gone. Raymond, somebody, help Michael. On that wall back there, turn that knob that turns these lights on so I can see. Straight ahead of you, to the right, that twisty knob, turn that knob wide open. Yep, and that way I can see. Turn it on. Wonderful. That helps me so much. So the thing I want to talk about, and I'm sorry for the interruption for those of you that's online, and that's a technical difficulty. I couldn't see. I can see now. So inspire to give. But here's the thing I want to share with us, and here's the thing I want to talk about. When you look up the word inspire or inspiration, when I looked it up and to look the more to what the definition of inspire actually meant, it means to motivate. to motivate, to inspire. I remember things when I was growing up, and every now and then it still comes to my mind. I was about 13 years old. Anybody ever heard the name Hank Aaron? I guess Dave could tell me, he's a baseball guy, 7'14", or whatever. I said whatever. Home run king, more home runs than anybody else. Playing baseball with the Midway Lanes, who was a bowling alley outfit that sponsored us. Our coach took us to Atlanta, and we watched the Atlanta Braves play the St. Louis Cardinals. It was bat night. Anybody know what bat night is? They give out bats. They give out balls. It was bat night. I still have the bat that I got that night put up. And that night, or that day, something amazing happened. So here we are. We're 13-year-old. We're down there with our coach, and he's the greatest coach in the world. And, you know, he taught a bunch of little boys how to be number one. Our baseball team was undefeated, and we'd done that for like several years. So when we were able to go as an undefeated team, I don't know where they raised the money. I don't know how they got the money. I have no idea. But they took us to see the Atlanta Braves. Guess what, Dave? Me and you're talking baseball and the Bean family. They're baseball people. And if I'm wrong tonight, y'all forgive me, because I'm not a sports person. But something happened there that night, or that day, it really was night. Standing down at the fence with his legs crossed, leaning on the fence, was number 44. Is that right? Hank Aaron himself, the baseball giant, was down there. And I remember that to this day because it was such an inspiring moment in my life. That is something that was ingrained within my heart. And I said all that to say this, that there's a window that God has given us as a people. And what we do with that window of time matters. And when we think about being inspiring or to inspire somebody, I think inspiration is good because it's those moments in time that's going to last a person throughout eternity, if you will. So why did I choose these verses of Scripture for this particular lesson this evening? I know this particular grouping of Scripture can be taken as sowing seed and giving money and things of that nature. But the thing that I thought about was how long has it been since you just took the time to inspire somebody? How long has it been since you just took the time to encourage somebody? How long has it been since you just took the opportunity, if you will, to somehow sow something good into somebody's life? Not because you had to, but just because God gave you the opportunity. We think about goodness. We think about kindness. We think about those things that the Bible describes to you and I as the very nature or the very characteristics of a child of God. And the question that came to my heart as I was studying this is, are we really sowing good seed? Are we really doing what God would have us to do? Because God has blessed you to be a blessing to somebody else. One of the things that we are suffering with in our society today is the me syndrome. What's in it for me? I will help you, but they've got to be a string attached to it, and they've got to be a reason for me helping you that's going to benefit me. Instead of me just wanting to be a Christian and me wanting to be a blessing to you. And see, when we begin to think about this, and I begin to think about it again, that God has blessed us to become a blessing to those who are around and near us. When we think about what the Bible says here, again, he said, but I say this, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Again, I don't want to just be so narrow that I pull this message into only nickels and dimes. But here's a concept. If you sow one corn kernel in the ground, you're typically only going to get one corn stalk, and you might get one or two ears off of that one corn stalk. But what if you sowed 25 corn stalks? What if you sowed 100 corn stalks? And that's the reason he said, but he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And the whole thing that I'm trying to get to with us this evening is that if you let's say this as an example. If you sow goodness sparingly, typically you're not going to reap a whole lot of goodness back. So, you know, the Bible even lets us know this, where the scripture says that you are known by the fruit that you bear. Again, when you think about sowing, he says, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. When we think about the word give, in the definition of that, again, we think about giving is to be able to release what you have into the care or for the care of another person. Giving, and the question would be, are giving, and you would ask, are you a giver or are you a taker? In all reality, there's not but two types of people. There's givers and there's takers. I want to be a giver, don't you? I want to be able to sow because I've seen this both ways. Some people actually get a real blessing by being able to give to others, but yet some people get a real blessing by keeping it all for themselves and blessing no one. But yet God in the scripture has told us, you and I, of what the Bible actually says, that you and I are only stewards of what God has put into our hands. Because when you look into the word of the Lord, and it's pretty lengthy to be honest with you, and I'll try to read a little bit of it, but when you look into Psalm chapter 24, the Bible reminds us that you and I are actually just stewards of the things that we possess. It's really not ours. It's really being held in trust to us as a steward. See, the Bible reminds you and I that that Psalm 24 in verse number 1 actually says this. Because what you and I have is not really ours. Are you with me tonight? It's not really ours. Because the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In all reality, everything you have really don't belong to you. Everything I have really don't belong to me. It belongs to God. And the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. It's all God's. Verse number 2 of this text, the Bible says, he said, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in this holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul in vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the righteous from God and his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him and seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Look in verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. So when we think about giving this evening, we think about God given to you and I. We think about what God has entrusted us. God has given us what He's given us. And again, I'm trying not to talk about monetary things as much as what I'm going to talk about at the end. But the things that God has given us, He attributes those things to you and I as being good stewards of what He's actually put into our hand. When we think about being a steward, the Bible says this about a man who was held accountable for what he had. Again, Matthew 25 and 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own lords and delivered unto them his goods. Again, when you look at the understanding of this, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. God, Jesus Christ, left that country. He came to this earth. He came to the earth. He brought us salvation. He's brought us everything we have. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He teaches us in this lesson of how that it's like a man traveling to a far country, and he called his servants and delivered unto them his goods, verse 15. And unto them, one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1. And to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Jesus has gone back to heaven. I'm going to paraphrase this really, really quick. So Jesus is the man, he's traveling, he comes, he gives his goods, he gives you and I salvation. He goes back to heaven, and now he's left his people here upon this earth. We have his goods, we have his possessions. And what are we given with those things that God has given us? Are we being responsible with the salvation? Are we being responsible with our spiritual walk, if you will? And then when you look through the man with the talents, there's several things that took place there. When you begin to look at this, he says in verse 16, and he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. He invested without fear, commentary said. He went into the highways. He went into the byways. He went into the places to inspire others. And I want to just sort of chase a rabbit for a second, figure of speech. That you and I, again, we may be the only Bible that some people ever read. We may be the only inspiration for our family. I've told you the story before and I'll tell it to you again. My mother may be watching. She may or may not be. It was a rocky time at our home. It was a rocky time, and I don't even remember now what was going on. I have no clue what was going on. Only thing I remember was my mother saying something to me that changed my perspective of life. Mothers have a tendency to be able to change boys' lives, young men's lives. Again, I don't know what the situation was, and this was probably before my mom was even saved. There was an argument going on. There was a disagreement going on. There was friction in the atmosphere. And I used the words to my mother in her kitchen. And I said these words. I said, Mama, the only thing I'm trying to be is a light to this family. And her words back to me at that occasion, she said, yeah, and you're not a very good one either. Because my attitude stunk. Stink, stank, stunk. I don't know how the English on that, but my attitude was rotten. When God's given the church His goods, it's like the man said, or the woman said, she was asked a question. And the question was, well, what's wrong? Did you wake up grumpy this morning? And she said, no, I let him sleep. So we go through life. And this is as much for me as anybody else. I don't know if I've ever really preached this line or not, but maybe I have. I don't know. If I have, forgive me. Has anybody ever had to have a checkup from the neck up? Boy, I do. If I'm not real careful, I get a bad attitude. I have to have Steve Jones call me and straighten me out every now and then. I think we talk to each other. I have to have Brother Gallimore call me every now and then, tell me what a good blessing God's given him. And I'm going, man, here I am the pastor and my attitude really stinks right now. Now, no, some of you don't ever have a bad attitude, but I'll just tell on me. What if that's the day that I've got a bad attitude and that's the day I need to inspire somebody? I'll pick on Steve. Steve's not here and he's listening online most likely. Brother Steve, on his job for years, it's very difficult on his job. And I kept telling Brother Steve, you know, just go and do the best you can with it. And him and this guy kept getting into it on his job and they just butted heads on his job. And I kept telling Brother Steve, just be good to him. Just go down there. If that's where God's put you, just be an inspiration to him. And Brother Steve had COVID. He come out of COVID. This man was still there. He got attached to this man. And at one time, he and the man that was enemies are now best friends on his job. Brother Steve, he'll tell you the story. So the reason I said that is because when my mom said that to me, it immediately adjusted my cell. I've always been pretty tender towards my mom. And anytime my mom's ever said something to me or Janet or somebody like a mom figure, I think and I process and I adjust. And I hope this ain't boring you tonight. Because I believe the church needs to inspire people. Brother Steve, he preached last week about salt and light. And we'll never be what God wants us to be until we can inspire folks to believe. So what are you saying, Pastor? You can read the rest of this about the talent. One guy hid his talent. One brought forth a little bit. And the one that went and hid his talent in the earth, the Lord came back to him and he said, you're a wicked servant. He says that. And he said he hid his talent in the earth and he didn't do with it what God told him to do with it. And if you look way over in verse number 30, he said, and he cast him, that unprofitable servant, into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that might have been a little bit of a stretch on that scripture, but in all reality, it's really what we're doing with what God's given us. So first of all, when I begin to think about these scriptures as they all come together in my own heart, my own mind, I begin to think about how that God has entrusted us with the gospel. And I thought about that piggybacking on Sunday night's message is how we need to inspire people with the word. How that the word of God, as the Bible says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. When we think about the gospel, when we think about inspiring people, we need to sow the word of God. Again, when we sow the word of God and we sow God's word into people's lives, we can see that it inspires them. We can see that it brings things out of other people. The gospel. And I'll leave that alone because I done that on Sunday night. But here's the thing I thought about. If we're as a church not sowing the gospel and we're sowing sparingly and we're expecting to reap bountifully, we're actually doing something against God's word. And we need to, as a church, we need to sow as much gospel as we possibly can. Anywhere we can. Media, whatever we do, however we do it. And I thought about that because this is what Jesus told his disciples to do, is to go into the highways and the byways and compel people to come in. Another thing I thought about, again, it not just being money, but these next several things I really want us to think about this evening as we move forward. When we look into the book of Proverbs, we think about this right here. Let me ask you this. Friendship. And the reason I said that because we need to inspire people to be friends. You think, I've never heard such a boring message. No, you need to think about it. It's because the Bible teaches you and I that we need to inspire others. I remember Tommy Barnett, and I'll get into that in a minute, but I remember Tommy Barnett preaching in 1996 at a prayer conference in Charlotte at the campground down on Wilkerson Boulevard. And Tommy Barnett inspired me so much that I bought his books and I read them and I learned a lot from him. One of the things that he said, and I'll always remember it. He said, you need to be inspired to dream a dream. And you need to dream a dream so big that when you see that dream come to pass, that was not only your dream, but it was God's dream also. And I said that to say this, that in our inspiration of a church, in our desire to see God move in the church, is we need to dream a dream again. Joseph dreamed a dream, and God showed him and God inspired him. Somehow or another, we need to get our dream back. Somehow or another, we need to be inspired again in the church. COVID, again, not blaming COVID, but COVID knocked the wind out of us. And everything since then has kind of went sideways, if you will. And it's like it's taken the dream out of us. And we need to be inspired to dream again as a church. It's really hard to do that sometimes. Let me talk about this next thing. How many people have you inspired in your friendship with other people? And the reason I said that is because, again, the Bible begins to teach us that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow into the lives of other people, the Bible says that you're going to actually receive bountifully. And here's the question of the hour. The question is, maybe we need, and again, just follow me through this, maybe we need to invest in people in order that our circle of influence could be enlarged. I think in the scripture, I don't think I've ever preached on it, but maybe one time. His name is Jabez. Jabez prayed that his circle of influence or his influence would excel. There's nowhere else in the Bible I don't think Jabez is mentioned. But he mentioned that his sphere of influence would be enlarged and he would be stretched, if you will. And I said that to say this, when we enlarge our influence, we're actually able to tell people more about the gospel and we're able to sow more gospel, but yet somehow or another, and don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say, somehow or another it's almost as if the church has actually got some type of mentality today that the church has went inward instead of outward. It's almost as if the church is turned inward instead of outward. It's almost the church is almost turned into an introvert, so we're no longer having any influence in the communities. We're no longer having influence with our neighbors. We're no longer having influence with those around us. And I said all of that, Brother Harold Marlowe, to say this, that we need to sow into people's lives. We need to be as a church one time again. To try our very best to go beyond the doors and the scope of the sanctuary and let somebody see the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Question. Friendship. How many friends do you have? Don't get your fingers and toes out, but let me ask you this. How are you affecting those around you? Are you sowing bountifully into their lives? Are you touching their lives? And somebody may have an I don't care attitude. I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone, and we'll all get to heaven together maybe one day. But I don't think that's what Jesus would want us to do. Because you can see that Jesus had friends. How many of you know that? John 11, our friend Lazarus is dead. Jesus had friends. Jesus stood in John 11 and 35. And Jesus wept because his friend Lazarus was in the tomb, even though he knew that he was going to come forth. I think that Jesus wept for another reason. I think that Jesus wept because Jesus was sowing into their lives and Jesus was telling them that he was the Messiah. And then Mary, and they was having a fit, and Martha, they was having a fit. If you would have only been here, this would never have happened. I think Jesus wept because they failed to believe that he was really who he said he was. And Jesus weeping. But I believe today that as inspiration comes forth, How are we to inspire others? We are to inspire people through the gospel. We are to inspire people through having to develop the right type of attitude towards other people. And then I believe that we can influence people by being a friendly person ourselves. Don't look at your neighbor, but are you a friendly person? Hello. Here's what the Bible said. Hey, this is funny, and it may not be too inspirational to nobody. This is serious. Because if we're not reaching people, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. And if we have one of those I don't care attitudes and the people know it, hey, I'm nice to even the cashiers at Walmart. Because that might be the only person, I might be the only person that day that's nice to them. When I go to a restaurant and I try to be super nice to these waitresses that's there, not to flirt, not to try to be anything other than inspiring to them. Hey, I carry a pocket full of these pens. I don't have one up here. Horace has seen me do this. I carry a pocket full of, not a pocket full, but some of our Thomasville Church of God pens. And I'll give these girls a pen at the table and talk to them about the Lord and talk to them about the church. And I've had many of them say, oh, I love that pen you gave me the last time. I said, it's a good pen, ain't it? And we talk and we try to be nice and friendly to open up opportunity to tell them that I'm the pastor and sometimes people's with me and this is so-and-so. Would you come to church sometime? I mean, I think you would like it if you would come. Friendly. You say, well, I ain't much into friendship. I've been hurt so many times that every time I get close to somebody, I end up getting hurt. Hey, I understand. But we'll never get anywhere if we don't take a risk. Let me share this scripture and then we'll move on. If you look in Proverbs chapter number 18, there are several scriptures there that I want to share with you. But here's what I really wanted to get into, and it's at the bottom down there. And it's in verse number 24. And the Bible said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You take the incentive. You take the incentive and you show yourself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So how are we to invest in people's lives? We're to share the gospel with them. We're to be friendly to them. We're to inspire them. And then we understand that, again, when you look at this text that we read to you, Paul again was saying that every man according to give, every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Again, I know this is monetarily. This is monetarily that you give. Let every man purpose in his own heart what he can give. But yet I've tried to look at this through giving to others. How am I influencing other people's lives? And then he says these words. He says, not grudgingly. When you think out of the word grudgingly, not out of force, not out of somebody's making me do what I'm being told to do. Even in your finances. Not grudgingly, but freely. God has blessed me so that I can bless others. Not grudgingly. I don't give because I have to. I don't give. Hey, giving feels good when you love God. Giving feels good when you love people. Sowing into people's lives is good when you see the outcome of it. When Paul was writing this, he says, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. When you begin to see this, if you look in the scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 68, Luke 6 and verse 38, only a few verses of scripture there. And I want to turn there with you and look at that. Luke chapter 6, again, not looking just at monetarily things, but looking at the simple fact that he that hath friends must show himself friendly. He that is inspiring others will be inspired by what they see in others. There's nothing any greater than seeing God do a work in somebody's life. The Bible even says that a kind word turns away wrath, anger. I've talked to people through the years and I've said words to them. And as far as I know, this is the truth. And I've told people over and over, I said, if there's an issue, go to them. And you go to them in love. You go to them with the right attitude. You go to them in the right spirit. I've never really ever seen a situation where somebody didn't receive somebody when they came to them in love. And the Bible says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. The only way we can be an inspiration to somebody else is by being what God would have us to be. And again, this is a scripture that you can talk about in the area of finance, but I'm looking at it too in how we sow into people's lives. Give and it shall be given unto you. What you give will be reciprocated back to you. It'll be returned back to you. A kind word turns away wrath. So he says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. How many of you could use a few good days now? Come on, somebody. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many of you have ever bought a half a bag of potato chips? How many of you have ever bought a half a box of cereal? You expect it to be a full box of cereal. It may be when they put it on the shelf, but shaken together and it ends up little. Hey, when you get shaken together, it makes room for more. And all God's trying to do is make room, more room for Him in our lives. And again, let me go back and backpedal for just a minute. Hey, once God shakes you down, and as you look at this shaking together, running over, it just makes more room for you to be a blessing to somebody else. And I'll just go ahead and say it. It's not in my notes nowhere, but most of the time, people's not after your stuff. Most of the time, people could care less about your stuff. People just care about you. When you're a Christian, you just care about the person. I ain't worried about your stuff. I don't want your stuff. I just want somebody to be kind to me. I want somebody to be good to me. Does this make any sense? And there's nothing wrong with kindness today. There's nothing wrong with just being good to people today. So he says, give and it shall be given. That means give love. Give honor. Give respect. What our world is lacking today. You say, well, preacher, you don't know how they've talked to me. Hey, kill them with kindness. Kill them with kindness. If they've been rude to you, don't reciprocate that with evil. That's Bible, friend. The Bible says not to render, not to return evil for evil. Two wrongs don't make a right. You get two people mad on the same day, it ain't got nothing good going to come out of it. Somebody's got to take the high ground. Somebody's got to be better and not bitter. Too many bitter Christians. Too many bitter people in our world today. Let's inspire to be inspired. Here's another thing, and I'll try to wrap it up here shortly. Again, when the Bible says, press down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom? Wow. Let me look at that again. Did that really say that? It's when we are given and it shall be given when we're good to people. Guess what? People's going to reciprocate that love back to us or that goodness back to us. The Bible said it's going to be shaken together, running over, and shall men give unto you. How many of you could use a little kindness right now? That right there was worth you coming over here for tonight. Amen. And then he says, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, it'll come back to you. And the Bible reminds us again in the scripture that Hosea actually mentioned this, and I believe it's in other places as well. But the Bible says if you sow to the wind, if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he. I think that's a scripture in the Bible. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. I thought that was in there somewhere. Y'all knew it. You want to change your life? Sow different seed. You want to change your life? Take a different perspective. Hey, this is what Galatians says. I love Galatians because, again, Paul, the writer of the book of Galatians to the church of Galatia there. And this is what he says, if I can find it. And this is, again, in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. When you look in verse number 7, this is what he says when you open this up. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Here it is. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, let me go back to this text for just a minute. But I say unto you, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap also sparingly. Then the book of Galatians says, be not deceived that God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is a God-given law in God that what a man sows, that shall he also reap. Here's the thing. I heard a guy say this one time. He said, if I go out in my garden and I sow cucumber heels, he said, I expect to go out there in a few months and get cucumbers. He said, I don't go out there and sow cucumber heels, if you will, and collect watermelon off of them. And see, there's another expectancy in the church today, is that we've got to understand, you and I, God did call us to, and I use the word tonight to inspire. Maybe I should have found another word, but that's what I believe God put in my heart, is that God is really wanting you and I, again, as Brother Steve mentioned last week, to be the salt of the earth, the light, salt and the light of the earth, to be the influencers of the earth. But we're allowing the world to influence us when all reality, God is saying to you and me that you need to be the influencers. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Wow. I don't know if that's resonating with anybody this evening, but this is what he's saying in verse number 8. He said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Wow. Again, we're looking and he says, but he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. You're going to reap what you sow. I still believe if we inspire friendship, if we inspire to be good to people, you say, you don't know, preacher, how they're treating me on my job. I'm going to go back to Brother Steve again. He's listening. Brother Steve, on that job, me and him's talked about it a lot through the years. He could have pitched a fit. He could have cussed out his supervisor. He could have done all kinds of things to shame himself on that job. But he somehow or another held on. And through, this is his testimony. You can talk to him about it. But through the years, people that has watched Brother Steve down there on that job has later came back to him because he inspired them so much through his job. And I don't know about you, but and this is the only way I know how to say it. We got some, and you talk about the word inspire, which means to motivate. And I think we in the church have some inspiring to do. Our young people today, our children today, our babies today, our Emily's today. Because if we can't touch them with our lives, they're not going to be touched. And believe it or not, everybody watches the preacher. Somebody told me the other day, said, I can't believe how you're doing and so many people's eyes are on you. And this person don't know me, first of all. This person don't know you. This person don't know nothing about me at all. Nothing. And I thought to myself as I responded back in a text message to that person, I said, our church is a very understanding church and they're the greatest people I've ever been around. And they don't judge me based on what they see. They judge me on truth. The person didn't reply back to me. Because we've learned to grow together in love, and we've learned to grow together in mercy. We've learned to stick it out through thick and thin. Hello, somebody. We learn to be together and unified as we move forward for Him. And whether, I guess I can say it like this before I close, there's a lot of people that's inspired us. You've inspired me. I've inspired you. We inspire each other to keep on keeping on for Jesus. I'm going to tell on Brother Cain. Is it okay if I tell on you? We were doing Tuesday morning prayer meetings forever. And some of these guys that was coming over here was getting older, and it just, you know, we just sort of changed a different method there. He don't even know this. Brother Cain don't even know this. Brother Cain was sitting, I believe, right here, and I was over there. And I would always hear Brother Cain pray. Praying hard. I got you on video praying. You may not know that, but I got you on video praying. A lot of times, I do. But inspire people. Now, you say, well, I've never heard this type of message out of you. Well, it's okay. I'm just trying to get a point across. I'm not who I say I am. I'm really what I do means more than anything. When you look at this in the Word, the Bible again says this. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. And this is the latter verse number 10. And I love this scripture. He says, and as we have therefore opportunity, watch this, let us do what is good. The word good is profitable, useful, to the benefit of others. Okay, good means profitable, useful, benefit of others. He said, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What does that mean? That means simply to be good to people, that inspire people to become a better person of who they are. I'm going to wrap this up because I got a couple more pages, but I'm not going to actually get into all that. But I do want to do this latter part of this. So we inspire people through the gospel. We inspire people through our influence with others. And this is the biggie. This is the biggie before we go. I may not be able to get all this in, but I'll actually read part of it. The Bible says that we influence people with our words. We inspire people with our words. If you go back in the book of Proverbs again, it's that wonderful scripture in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 11. I'm actually going to turn there myself because I think there's something there that I needed to look at as well. Proverbs 25, I think that's it. Verse 11, I've said this verse of scripture before, but it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. If you read through the rest of that in other places through that same area, the Bible actually tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can inspire people with your words, or you can destroy people with your words. We know it's the truth. And I don't know about you, and I'm not going to look at you right now, because I know there have been times in my own life that I probably said things to my kids that I shouldn't have said. Y'all probably ain't never done that. You're the greatest influence on your children when they're children, little ones. I don't know about when they get older. I ain't figured that one out yet. Y'all have to pray for me on that one. But a word fitly spoken. What does James say? Because we do inspire others with our words. Psalm 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouth, or my mouth. Here's the latter part, because it's getting late. But we've got to live our lives to inspire others. We've got to live our lives in an effort to try to let others see Christ Jesus in us. If you take, and Brother Scott mentioned this a few weeks ago in Sunday school, but if you take James chapter number 3, the Bible talks about this little member that we've got in our mouth. With our little member, we can destroy husbands and wives just by sharp words. There's one thing I try not to ever do in all my frustrations at times, and as hard as that is sometimes, I always, and she's not here, she's sitting, but there's one thing I try to always do, and I've even had to learn this with my kids, and I've done it, I'm guilty. I found myself one time extremely frustrated, and I was venting my venom towards my kids when I was younger. I'm talking about a long, 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 long time ago. And there's one thing I try to never do is vent my venom toward Sherry. We have to talk about that every now and then. And I have to say, honey, I didn't mean that towards you. It's just a statement that I needed to make, but it wasn't towards you. And in the scripture, we see this about the way that we inspire individuals is we have to be careful. The Bible says in James chapter number 3 and verse 3, he says, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, they are driven by the fierce winds, and they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Verse 5 says, "Even so the body is a little, the tongue is a little member. It boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So it is a tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the whole course of nature." Our whole life will follow our tongue. It will. And he says here, and it says, "And it is set on fire of hell." Verse 7, I didn't write this, by the way. "For every kind of beast, of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." Verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore we bless God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men. And we are made in the similitude or the image of God." Verse 10 says this, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings." You can't curse your neighbor and bless God at the same time. You can't gossip and tear somebody down and bless God at the same time. God wants us to inspire folks. You say, well, this message sounds like it's a little bit cupcake-ish to me. I mean, it's like little Philly touchy and it's a little too emotional for me. And there's nothing wrong with just being kind to people. That's the whole point. We can tear people down or we can build people up. Now, let me hurry up and finish. And don't say amen right there. He says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be." Look at verse 11. He says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And can a fig tree," the Bible says, "can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water." In other words, if you go back in Galatians chapter 5 and you read that, I'm not going to take the time to do that. It gives us a synopsis and an understanding of the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. And James is saying, you can't be both. You can't be both. So let me read this again and finish up. He says in verse number 7 of our text, he's talking about giving. And then he says in verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have a sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Again, this scripture talks about giving. This talks about money. It talks about giving, and Paul talked about giving a lot. Jesus talked about giving. But he also said that you may abound to every good work. And I don't know who this might have been for besides me. Maybe I just talked to me tonight. But when you get frustrated and you get upset, think about inspiring somebody else with the gospel. Think about inspiring somebody else with friendship. Think about inspiring somebody with the words that we speak. Sweet water, bitter water. Have you got words of inspiration tonight, or have you got words that are sharp, like daggers? And God's saying, I've called you for such a time as this. And God's wanting, I wish this floor would quit squeaking. That's so aggravating. And God said, I've called you for such a time as this to inspire and to influence family members, children, youth, those around you. And God said that His Spirit would go with us whithersoever we goeth. And I believe tonight that God has called us to reevaluate our own lives and really ask ourselves, are we really being the people that God has us to be right now? To inspire those around us. You can touch people that I'll never, ever see, I'll never, ever know, and I'll never, ever run into. But because of this message tonight, you're going to remember that you can take what God's give you and sow it bountifully and sow it into the lives of others, and you can make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. If you will, stand with me. I got kids in the hallways, so I know they're finished if I'm done. If I see them out there, I know I'm done. So, Father, we thank You for the Word tonight. Jesus, You inspired us. Everywhere You went, Jesus, You touched the sick. Everywhere You went about doing good. That's what the Bible said in Acts 10 and 38. And the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. And Lord, help us to be the church as we go forth to touch the lives of those around us. And help somebody be inspired to serve You, to honor You, and to love You. Lord, You said if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, and You said, by this shall all men know that You are My disciples, by Your love one to another. And God, help us just to go share love with somebody. Let somebody know the love of Jesus. And God, let them know that Jesus is living in us. Greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. And Father, help me to be this person tonight too. Not just preach it, not just say it, not just do it. But God, let it be a part of who I am. Not just in preaching, but let it be the person that I am. Lord, I pray that all of us would adjust. Help us to be all that You want us to be, to inspire a lost and a dying world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a good week, what's left of it. Don't get no speeding tickets this week.